Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Aya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, supporting architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals grow their businesses while keeping their work-life balance. Each podcast episode features a different woman business owner or thought leader from the creative industry who shares their journey and challenges. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from, please stay until the end of the show to get selected as a guest in our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. Hello, everybody. I'm really excited to introduce our next guest today, Jing Johnson. Jing, I consider a Renaissance woman who has reinvented herself several times, personally and professionally. She graduated architecture school in China and worked there in China as an architect and moved to the U.S. as an architect, but she also studied business while raising a family and started Prism Rendering, a seven-figure premier commercial visualization firm with hundreds of clients. But that's not enough. Now she is a real estate investor, so I can't wait to start the conversation with Jing. Jing is also a mother of two, a son of two grown sons, wife of an architect, and a dog mom. She loves dancing, reading, cooking, and traveling. Jing, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Aya. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited about our conversation.
So me too. I can't wait to share your story with the entire audience. Tell me about, you know, yourself personally. That's always a good place to start, your background.
Yes, for sure. So I was born and grew up in China in the 70s and 80s. So it's a very unique time. My parents were structural engineers. So basically I grew up in the big AE. It's not the firm. It's because at the time, everything is owned by government. So we call Architecture Planning Institute. So I basically grew up in the institute with them, you know, working there. And apartment, you know, we all live in the same apartment complex. So basically I'm watching and breathing architecture, engineering, profession, the whole, you know, childhood. So naturally, both my brother and I chose architecture as our major when we started college. And I finished my degree and worked there for a couple of years. Part of me, just looking at my parents and their colleagues, and I feel like I can see myself, you know, in 50 years, where I will be, you know, professionally or life-like. I just, part of me want to have a little adventure, right? Just go out to see the world and not just follow the exact same life and career path. That's why I decided to come over here, get my master's degree at the University of Houston. Actually, I was accepted by four schools. I chose Houston because one of my dad's childhood friends came to Houston. He was in the oil industry. So he came here, get a training, buy equipment. And so he's familiar with Houston. He said, if you study architecture, you should come to Houston. There's a lot of modern, you know, architecture over there. You will enjoy that. So I chose University of Houston, and I finished my degree because I already have my graduate degree in China. So I was admitted to a one-year program, finished my master's degree, and stay here, start working I worked for about three firms, small, medium, and large. The last one was Perkinson Well. It was a global firm before I started Prism Renderings in 2005. I guess, should I continue or?
Yeah, I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it, but I know you, when you moved here, you were raising a family, or you're a newly single mom, right? Is that right?
When I started the business, yes.
Yeah.
Last time we talked, I mentioned that. So basically I was going through a divorce and raising two little boys, 5 and 8 years old, and started the business full time and to start my MBA at the same time. I know we talk about that. I basically didn't sleep for probably 6 months. The first semester was really hard because I was 40 years old. I just, basically a reset of my life, right? From W-2 to employee to business owner, from a married woman to a single mom to full-time employee to also a full-time student, after being away from school for quite a few years. So it was a very challenging time, but also exciting time just to start everything new.
Wow, I can't even imagine at 40, raising kids, going to grad school, and starting a business. I mean, you make it sound so easy.
But no, I'm sure no, it's not at all. Not at all. I mean, I always tell people that when I was at my MBA classroom, I was probably the greenest person there just because I had no business training. All my education and my work experience, I don't have that management, experience. I didn't have any business training. So, and also for rendering companies, unlike architecture firms or engineer firms, you have those flagship or, really well-known firms, the best practice, the business model in terms of business model. So you kind of, understand the practice, right? How to run your business. But rendering company, there's no, company that have a best practice business model for me to follow. So basically I have to figure that out to learn.
Why did you pursue your master's degree in business? To support your rendering company or?
Okay. Yes. When I started the company, I just had an intuition that there's a need on the market and I can pull the resource because I'm from China. So I have that resources in China because at the time we were doing projects in China, I can see the quality and the turnaround time is just much better than our local suppliers. So I thought it would be a good career or business to run based on my education, my working experience, and my resources. Just put all three together. So when you don't know much about the business, you just running into it. You have no fear. Obviously I didn't know a lot of things I don't know now, but I have a feeling that I think entrepreneurs all have that intuition, right? That there's a need and I can, I have the resources to meet this need. So I just went for it.
So I always say creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run or grow a business. But it's very refreshing to know that you actually took your MBA to make sure that you can run your business properly? Because I hear a lot of people complaining that creatives don't make money, but you can. And Jing is a testimonial that you can. As a matter of fact, what did you say? You're only the top 2% of women business owners who reach seven. Is that right? In Texas?
I think it's nationwide. It's under 3%. I think including men and women owned business is about 7%. But for women owned business, it's, I think, under 3%.
So you're a woman owned business. You're top 2% that has reached seven figures. And she's in the creative industry, people. So yes, it's possible to make money in the creative industry. That's refreshing to know. So what services do you offer at Prism? Can you talk about that? Exactly. Who is your target audience? Everybody does. A lot of people, they do renderings, but what makes Prism stand out?
Oh, thank you for that question. We work with commercial real estate developers and brokers mostly, but that's about more than 50% of our clients base. And then the other about half is our architecture firms. What made us stand out is our architecture background. So all our project managers have architecture degrees and experience working in architecture firms. So with architects clients, we basically speak the same language. We were in their seats, you know, before. So it's make that communication much easier. And also sometimes I would say our specialty would be early stage projects that sometimes architects are just very busy right now. Everybody is short staffed. Sometimes their clients ask for renderings at early stage design phase renderings. It's hard for them to have that capacity to produce high quality renderings. They need to focus on their design and production side. So we will come in and take the limited design information and create the renderings so to meet their clients' need. For the commercial real estate developers and brokers, same thing. Sometimes it's just too early to engage architect at the time. They need something for funding, investment package or some zoning purpose, entitlement. They need renderings quick and high quality. But it was just too early to engage architects to do a full, package of design. We would be able to produce that and meet their needs. So it's really interesting that to serve both, client sector in a different way.
So my question is, since most of your team members have architecture backgrounds, and obviously you have architect clients, for the non-architect clients like developers, you have extended your service offering as well to include initial design for developers, right? Since you said they haven't engaged any architects, so you actually do not only visualization, but help them with design. Is that correct?
It's just concept. It's concept. Really for, the rendering purpose. Once the project getting kicked off, architects will be the one taking, because we are not competing with architects in that aspect. We always joke with them that after you get a project, you got the funding, you get the approval, from city, you need to hire real architects to do the work. So basically we are in this space between, developers and architects, and we help to expedite that process to have the project kick off sooner so architects can take it over. So that's why for those kind of projects, we have architects reach out to us. They trust us to you know, serve their clients at this stage. And then after we finish our work, the project get started, and they can take it over. So it's not going to hurt their relationship with their developer clients. It's only help get everything, you know, started sooner.
So what really impressed me about your work, because I know I follow your company on LinkedIn, is the scale of your projects. They're really massive. Like, how did you get to that point from doing, you know, I'm assuming you started small, but now most of your clients are, you know, big developers, right? With multi-family, like huge developments. So can you talk about your business development strategy and how you were able to, you know, get all these big clients? I'm sure some of our new business owners want to know.
Yeah, actually, we actually started with three big clients. Yeah, because the relationship. Yeah. And so when I started a business, we have three, you know, two large architecture firms and one large developer client. Those, most of our project consists, you know, come from those three top clients at the beginning, because the relationship, because my friend or former colleagues were in those firms and they introduced me to their teams. So that's how we get started. However, I want to say that, you know, I started business in 2005, but, you know, we all know what happened 2008, right? 2009. So because we had a majority of our workers were from those big firms, and when their projects stopped or, you know, got put on hold, our revenue just dropped, you know, dramatically. 2009, 2010, we recovered 2011. But, you know, so the moral of the story is you can't have a client that more than, you know, ideally 10% of your revenue, because that if a major, you know, recession or things happen, and you basically, your business will suffer a lot more. So right now we have hundreds of clients. So our, the revenue will be dispersed among those clients instead of concentrate on several big clients. So that was a lesson to learn.
Diversify, right? Like,
exactly.
I mean,
diversify.
2008, and then when, how many recessions did we have? And you're still
so,
around.
I think, you know, we pushed through two big ones, right? One is 2008, 2009, and then the COVID. We just pushed through that. We actually come out a much stronger firm after COVID. It's humbling, because I remember when I was working in two firms that we had those major slowdown. It was scary, right? Everybody was worried about their jobs, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. And because of that, I just don't want that ever happen to my team members. For me, just being responsible that on our financial performance, our reserves. So if they love our work, they love their work, and we love to have them forever, not forever, but you know what I mean? It's just they will never worry about we can, you know, pay their paycheck. We have enough reserve to sustain us for a few months if we don't get any projects. So that safety net just really helped us to push through the recessions and
I'm glad you mentioned having a safety net, because a lot of, you know, new firm owners spend way too much time just doing production work and doing the drafting work and doing the rendering work. And I think what you said about it's your responsibility to make sure you have enough safety net for your people so you can pay them. And that's one of the biggest takeaways really that I admire from what you just said. we're in business not only to support our clients, but also to provide our salaries for employees. So that I think we all should learn from, to diversify the businesses so that when a recession hits, we don't lose all our sources of income. And that's super admirable. How do you teach that to a young entrepreneur? Like, you know, instead of just spending time drafting all the time, like, how do you, you know, like, since most of our people listening to the AML podcast are young architects, entrepreneurs, like, where will they even begin when they're too busy drafting and doing renderings?
It's hard. I would recommend two books to your audience. One is E-Myth. You're nodding your head. I know you read that. And the other one is Profit First. Profit First.
So one's E-Myth and the other one is Profit First. Can you, you know?
Right. So E-Myth is really talk about, you know, how a technician or expert, you know, subject matter expert, how they can grow their business instead of just, you know, own a job, right? When you are doing all that, you just said drafting all the way to renderings, you basically are owning a job, which is fine. You know, it's personal choice. I think business, what I love about business is that there's so many options, so many choices. It really depends on your lifestyle, your goals, your, you know, legacy you want to leave. So if they choose to treat it like lifestyle business, is basically owning a job. You have your freedom and you set your own schedule, which is totally fine. I don't think, probably not everybody's, should be scaling, growing their business. So I think I want to put that, you know, first, it's just, it's a personal choice. But if you do have a ambition or you want to build a legacy, you want to build a team, you want to serve more clients, you want helping more employees or team members, then you need to read E-Myth. And, you know, Profit First actually is suitable for every business owners. It's really the discipline, you know, how you, it's about the behavior control. It's not really financial knowledge, right? A lot of times it's like, I don't know if you heard of Dave Ramsey. He's a financial, personal financial guru. You heard about the envelope system. Have you heard of
which
envelope system?
Envelope. No.
It's basically your grandma, how your grandma managing their money, right? So they have, you know, they have a fixed amount of income every month coming. They put in a different envelope. You know, this one is for your clothing. This one is for your food. Excuse me. You know, just different use of, so you are not running out of money at the end of the month or year. Same thing. This is a very similar. When the money comes in, you put in a different several checking account. So one is operations, one is for the owner's payment, one is profit, one is tax payment. So you set aside when the money comes in, you set aside in those different accounts. And you don't spend, for example, if you put 60% of your income into the operations, right? So when you receive a $10,000 check, you don't think you actually don't have $10,000 to spend. You only have $6,000, right, for operations. So that just discipline, you know, how you control your business finance.
In that, so this is the profit
way.
Profit first book.
Yeah. And then for E-Myth is more about the system. So if you do want to build a business instead of just owning a job, you need to start to delegate your task. You need to hire, you even outsource, you know, certain tasks or you know, I always say trust the experts. So I will have a different subject matter expert for as our consultant or advisors. We're not going to touch it. You know, we trust them to do a much better job than us. So EMIT is more about systemize your business.
Wow. Thank you so much for this. A lot of nuggets there. Gold nuggets from Jing. Take note, Profit First and EMIT, which I read several times and I'm still reading. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you mentioned in our past conversations is you have an all-women team. And tell me about what it's like working with all women and how your leadership style, like what your leadership style is in general.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. I love talking about my team. So I actually, first part of my business, I did have a lifestyle business. I was by myself. I didn't hire any team members. Although I hired, engaged marketing and accounting, you know, professionals to help me with my books, my marketing side of business. But at the time when I started business, my boys were 5, 8 years old. And the first few years I was able to have that flexibility to, you know, grow this business and also take care of my boys. So when I start to hire, Sarah was my first team member. We went to the same church, so I trusted her, and we start talking about, you know, having her join me, and it made me realize, because at the time she just had a baby, new baby, make me realize that, you know, this could be I got something here, right? Not just for myself, for my own family, but also I can use this to help other women to have the same benefit I have had for the past few years. So that's how we started with all women team, all moms actually, all moms teams. It's, you know, all our current team members, moms with young children. And it was just, for me, it's gratifying, you know. Serving clients, finishing a project is always exciting and, you know, just enjoying experience. However, you make that impact in somebody's life and career is even more gratifying for me. So it's just for me to watch them grow over the years. Sarah and Vivian have been with us for 8 years now, almost. And then it's just watching them grow professionally and personally, it's just the legacy I want to leave behind. And so we basically have a lot of, I engage a business coach for 5 years with our team, you know, group coaching. And I'm trying to set up this learning, always learning, improving culture, you know, team. So everybody, we always watch, you know, look at the different resources, different way to learn together as a team. If I learn something from the resources I have, I will share with the team and bring it back. So we all learn together, grow together. So I think that's just make your job fun, because there's so many choices. You can pick your job or work for someone, but make it fun, make it, you know, feel fulfilled in your work. Is for me, it's just it's more exciting than doing finish a project.
Yeah, so you really practice the EMIT by, you know, having all these people around you. I know that your management team are not all architects. Can you share the kind of the positions that you've hired? Because a lot of us, we do everything. A lot of architects are marketing, they do rendering, they do drafting, they do accounting. But I want Jing to explain what the role of her team is, because it's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I would say our core team, right now we have seven of us, seven moms. So our core team, I'm the one oversees the business and, you know, strategic planning, mentoring, big relationship, you know, building, things like that. And then we have Sarah, is the VP of our operations. So she will be handling all the operation related aspect of the business, and including some of the marketing work. And then we have Deborah, is the VP of business development. So she is a full-time business development. She does meet with new clients, per prospects, and she also maintains some of the existing client relationships. For us, business development is all about relationships, how you connect to people, help people, and also strengthen our existing clients' relationship. And also, we will have Vivian, is the VP of project management team. So she will be managing all the projects, you know, processes and the procedures and quality control. And then we have Lily is also a project manager. I also manage some projects. And then we have Amanda is the accounting manager. So she will be doing all the bookkeeping, controllers, you know, aspect closing the amount and all the financial statements, and she will be handling all the accounting related work. And then we have Jill, who is the part-time marketing coordinator. And so you saw we have newsletter over 7 years. We never, as a monthly newsletter, we never miss edition. And we also have daily social media post about our work, our clients, our team. And so that's our core team. And then we have also engaged a copywriter, press release, Carrie. She will help with all the newsletter copywriting and also website copywriting and press release. And then we have a fractional CFO. And yeah.
CFO, what's this? What?
Fractional CFO. So fractional CFO. Yeah, yeah. So basically accountant, the CPAs, they are responsible for historical performance of your financial performance of your firm. So they will gather all the, you know, data and just make sure everything's correct, right? But CFO is really looking beyond, is looking at the future, how you use those historical data to make wise and, you know, business decision going forward. So it's about the projection, it's about the budgeting, it's about, you know, growth. And for us also on top of that is about, you know, how to increase the value of the company, not just the top line revenue. So we engage. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh no, this is so impressive. Like, you don't become a seven figure business alone. You know, you need people, and Jing is a testimonial to this. I mean, I wish everyone will hear this, every business owner, not only creatives. Because to be able to grow, you need to transfer information. You need to know what your limitations are and promote and bring other people to have a common goal. And I really like that you're doing your legacy building. And I want to talk about this a little bit more because this is one of the things that I want Jing to cover about succession planning. She has an entire, you know, spiel about this. And I don't know if we have enough time, but just talk about succession planning and why it's important for architects or business owners to start doing it, and what you're doing about your own succession planning. Let's start about why we all should think about it.
Right. So go back to when we talk about EMIT, you know, if you choose to have a lifestyle business and just enjoying what you do, and when you decide to retire, you just close the practice, that's one choice, right? And but if you do want to, same thing with succession plan, if you do want to have a team, you want to grow the business, you want to serve more clients, succession plan is a must, right? For me, it's also a responsibility, because I don't know if something happened to me tomorrow, I don't want the business to stop. You know, I want the clients to still can, you know, trust us so we can still serve them continuously. I don't want our team lose a job, right? Because I could not perform my my part. Succession plan is about the continuity, right? So just make sure business still run beyond you, does not stop at you. And also on top of that, the reason I started thinking about succession plan was about 5 years ago. I was just really grateful for my team. I feel, you know, I cannot do this alone. Our team, I start a business, I lay some foundations, but my team are the one help me to grow it. And I want to reward them in terms of, you know, the ownership options, you know, so they can have that option to take over one day. It's just for me, just have that, it's almost like a will, right? You have a personal, you want to have a will. So if something happened to you, your kids, you don't want everybody grieving at the same time, worry about financials and, you know, all that other aspect, you want to plan ahead. So, you know, I just don't want everybody's to be put everybody in that position that is a chaos, and it's not going to be beneficial for any stakeholders of our business. So that's why I started that planning with an advisor company in Houston. So we basically put a plan together just to make sure that our leadership team will have that, you know, the financial source and also the options to take over in 10 years. That's our plan.
Wow, that's really amazing. So what's next for Jing?
Next for me, I'm going to focus on next 10 years. So before that, all that happened, so next 10 years, I'll be really groom our leadership team. Not just by myself, because I also have a limited knowledge and expertise. So I actually engage some top-notch, you know, expert advisors to help me to grow the team and to, so they are capable to do what, you know, the company, because as a company grow, that need and the professionalism, the level of quality and the business acumen is just going to grow as well. So first of all, I'm continuing learning. I don't want to be the cap of the business. Usually that's what happened. Business owner is the, you know, you are the bottom neck of the business growth, right? So I want to learn, get ahead. So I'm not going to be the bottom neck of the business. And in the meantime, I want to groom the team. And then, in 3 years, I'll be doing more. You mentioned that earlier. I'm a real estate investor, so I'm going to do more investment, passive. I don't think I have enough energy and time to do active investing, but passive investing. So it's you know, business, you create an income, but investing, you create wealth, right? And you are also able to.
That again, in business, you create income, but can you explain that?
Yeah, you have cash flow, you have a enough cash flow to support your lifestyle, your daily needs at the current time. But if you that's all you have to continue to work forever. So saving and investing is another part of your financial life, is to how do you create a passive enough passive income so one day you don't have to rely on the income you create from your business. So that's something I want to learn and do more. Hopefully, eventually, I can help my kids, my team members also have that. So that's the next step, is to learn. I always want to learn by myself first, and then I can pass that knowledge and experience to younger generation, so everybody can benefit from what I learn.
So Jane, thank you so much. This last 45 minutes, I see as a condensed master's degree. We learned about the importance of continual, always become a lifelong learner for business owners hiring a coach. The e-myth book, which is, you know, for you to grow, you need to transfer information, hire the right team members, and the book Profit First, the envelope system. You have to, you know, make sure you have enough funds for each part of the business. And a lot of entrepreneurs who are not trained in business really don't like to tackle the business part and the finance part. And your legacy and legacy building, which is really important, because we don't want to just work and work until we die. We need to create a legacy for ourselves and for our family and for the team members. And lastly, being responsible for your team. And that's really very admirable, to be able to recognize that you're not in business for yourself, but for the team members as well. I really enjoyed our conversation, Jing, and thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I love your show. I listen to all the episodes, and you are doing a great job here in our community. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. And for women business owners, I invite you to join the all-woman private Facebook group called Architect My Life. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access your podcasts. If you think you have something to add to the conversation for your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Remember, work-life balance is important, so join us for tips from others as they share their experiences on managing and growing their businesses and balancing their lives. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.